text today for our New Year's text is in John's Gospel, in chapter number 16 and in chapter number 10. John's Gospel, chapter number 16 and chapter number 10. New Year's is a holiday that we set aside for reflections on the past and hopes for the future. We make New Year's resolutions and we think about life. It's a good thing to reflect on life and to assess our own progress in life. And just lately, some of you have had some real troubles and trials. There's quite a few of you that have lost some loved ones just recently. Some of you have been hospitalized. Some have had operations, heart issues, cancer treatments. The Bible says that these things are common to man. The everyday normal struggles that go along with life. And so you feel the pressures of life, which can lead to discouragement sometimes, and even depression. And you look at life as a burden. And so when it comes time to reflect on life and assess our progress, maybe you'd rather not. But this New Year's Eve, we stand on the threshold of a new year. And I would like to look at life from Jesus' point of view. Who was ever any better than Jesus when it comes to explaining things? Whoever had such depth of understanding as Jesus? He came to earth to express God's thoughts to us. And so this morning I'd like to consider some of his most encouraging words about life itself and hope that we could learn from him how to step off into a new year with a good, clear assessment of how we should face what's coming in our future. Jesus at the Last Supper explained so much to his disciples that John in his gospel wrote 5 chapters about Jesus' conversation around a table in that upper room. I would consider with you a passage from that particular conversation. First one is John chapter number 16. And I'm looking at verse number 33. What Jesus said at the table at Last Supper. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then I want to look back to chapter 10 of John, where Jesus again tells us something about life. John chapter 10, verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so I would consider with you this morning 4 questions. Number 1, what is this thing that Jesus calls the world, which is, he says, the source of our tribulation? Number 2, how did Jesus overcome the world? Number 3, how do we respond to the world? And number 4, what is this more abundant life that Jesus referred to? And we hope, by answering these 4 questions, to grasp the very positive message that Jesus gives about how we should live life. First, what is the world? Well, it's not the planet Earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God made it and God owns it. And when Jesus says, in this world we will have tribulation, what does he mean by in this world? What's he talking about? To explain it, we go right to the very beginning of the Bible. God made a beautiful world. He put humans in a perfect garden. It was all described as being very good. And to our knowledge, there was only one rule to follow. Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. But then came a deceiver, a liar. And it said he was very subtle and clever. Satan, it was the prince of darkness. And he whispered into Eve's ear, did God say, don't eat from that tree? Did he really mean that? God knows that if you eat from that tree, it'll make you wise. So, if you eat from that tree, you can be your own God. You'll be just like God. So Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. The first response was to hide from God. And so there entered into the world a thought process. I can ignore God. I can choose my own destiny. I can do what I want to do. I do not have to obey God's rules. And a rebellion against God became part of human thinking. And we see it lived out in human behavior. There are many examples of it in the Bible. Cain was said to go out away from God, from the presence of God. And we read that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, told Moses, who is God that I should obey him? And so it was ingrained in the mind of humans to ignore God and to disobey God and do what we want to do and not what God tells us. We go ahead when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. It says he took Jesus up on a high mountain. And it says he showed him the kingdoms of the world and he said, all of these are mine. And I will give them to you if you bow down and worship me. So those kingdoms, as Satan said, were his. The system that the world operates under, that world that he said he owns, is rebellion against God. And it shows itself over and over. God said, thou shalt not kill. What the world says, we'll do what we want to do. And they murder thousands of unborn babies year after year after year. And God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the world says, we'll do what we want to do. And 50% of marriages fail. And God said he made man to be male and female. And this world rebels against the very way that God made us and said, God was wrong. I will choose whether I'm male or female. And God said, thou shalt not steal. And the world said, we will do what we want to do. And smash and grab is now thousands of dollars of merchandise. And don't you dare tell me not to do it. So this is what Jesus called the world, or that rebellious anti-God society that chooses every day to disobey God's commands and ignores the fact that God exists, and that God is real, and that God has power. In that world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. That world will come out against you if you believe in God. That world will defy you if you say God says you can't do that. That world will ridicule if you say God's word must be obeyed. Don't expect them to embrace you or to accept your message. That's the world that Jesus referred to when he said, in the world you will have tribulation and you will have trouble. But Jesus followed up with this: it's okay. Cheer up. A great thing to say. It's okay. He said, cheer up. I have overcome the world. Amen. Now, question two, how did Jesus overcome the world? Now remember, the world system is anti-God. And as soon as Jesus arrived on earth, he immediately came into conflict with that world system. The government was part of that anti-God system. King Herod, as soon as he had information that Jesus was born, immediately tried to murder Jesus. The very day the wise men found Jesus in Bethlehem, that night an angel said to Joseph, get up and go now, right now. Herod will try to murder the child. And so Joseph ran from Bethlehem, using the wise men's gifts to escape to Egypt. Jesus had barely arrived, and the world tried to murder him. After Herod died, Joseph and Mary and Jesus came to Nazareth. Jesus grew up in obscurity. At 30 years old, he began to teach and preach, and the opposition began. He healed a lame man who was dropped through the ceiling on a cot. And he said, your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. And they said, he can't forgive sins. Only God can do that. He's not God. He healed a man whose hand was withered. And they called him a Sabbath breaker. He healed a man born blind. And they brought the man in and they questioned him. And the man says, all I know is I used to be blind, and now I can see. And they excommunicated him from the church. Jesus cast out demons, and they said he has to have a demon himself, and he cast out demons with a demon's power. But then, in a tremendous display of power, Jesus raised up Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead for 4 days. And they said, if we let him live, everybody's going to believe on him, so we'll have to kill him. And they made plans to kill him. And then a traitor came to them, and they paid 30 pieces of silver to Judas Iscariot. And Jesus was arrested and tried and taken to Pontius Pilate. And when Pilate got up and asked questions, he said, do you want me to crucify your king? And they gave the ultimate answer that defines this world system attitude. They told Pilate, we will not have this man ruling over us. The ultimate statement of rebellion. We will not have him ruling over us. So crucify him. And they did. And they killed him. And they thought, that's the end
of Jesus of Nazareth. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. And that was how Jesus overcame the world. He proved beyond a shadow of doubt that he was God. And therefore, everything he said was true. And everything he did was by divine power. He was God Almighty in the flesh. And the world system was false. And it was wrong. And he overcame the world. So he said, cheer up. I have overcome the world. So, how do we live in this world? In 1 John, chapter number 5, we have this explanation. Beginning at verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So how do we overcome this world? We believe in Jesus. And we have a boundless confidence in God. And we love Jesus. And because of that, we love each other. And we obey his commandments. And it's not hard. He says his commandments are not grievous. It's a pleasure to obey him. So that our behavior is a stark contrast to the world's behavior. We don't ignore God. We embrace him. We don't rebel against God. We love him. We don't complain about God's laws and commands. We enjoy them. We don't disobey. When God says, thou shalt not, we don't say, oh, yes, I will. No, no, we obey him and we cooperate with God. And the stronger our faith, the more we stomp on the world system. We prove by our lives that God is real, that God is true and faithful, and we overcome the world by our faith. But Jesus takes it a step further. In that wonderful question number 4, what is the abundant life? He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So how does Jesus describe abundant living? Jesus explains the setting for a life that he said was more abundant. In the passage, he says this, I am the good shepherd. There are people who aren't concerned for your welfare and they only want to harm you, but I am the good shepherd. I want to gather you into my fold like a shepherd does. I want to gather the flock together and I want to feed you and I want to protect you. And when you enter into my fold, they call it the church. Gathering together of the sheep is the church. And what happens in the church? A lifestyle more abundant than anywhere else. We gather and we are fed by God's word. And we gather, and Jesus told us, when you gather, just pray. Ask in my name and I will do it. And that's what we do. So we pray for each other and God answers our prayers. That's abundant living. We love each other, we love God. So we worship together and lift our hearts together. And God has promised he protects us. And God supplies our needs. And God lets us feel his presence. And God has given us such abundance. You can't get that outside there. It's not out there. So my friends, treasure it. Seize it. Enjoy it. Come to church and get recharged. Come to church and be blessed. Come to church and feel the love. Come to church and feel God's presence. Come to church and learn more about Him. That's what He promises. Peace, abundant living, safely gathered. Question number four is answered. Here in God's house, we have an abundant way of living, and that's a good thought for a new year. I got one more thought for a new year. There was a famous preacher named A.W. Tozer, and he once described the world and life in a little story that he told. He said, a king built a beautiful castle, and he filled it with wonderful paintings on the wall, and sculptures and artwork was displayed, and all the finest tapestries were hung. All the best architecture was used, and it was beautifully lit, and it was a joy to behold. But one day, the government changed, and foreign forces came and occupied the castle. And they knocked over the sculptures. They broke the artwork. They took down the paintings. And they threw their empty bottles on the floor. And the castle became filthy and dirty. And no one cared about anything. The castle that was once so beautiful became an ugly eyesore, and for a long time everything was in disrepair, filthy and dirty, as the soldiers tossed their garbage on the floor. But finally, the king returned. He came back and took over. He cleaned the palace and restored the artwork, made everything beautiful once again. And that's what this world is compared to. My friends, we live in an occupied world. Originally, God made this world to be beautiful, full of God's artistry and a wonder to behold. But we live in an occupied world, and the occupying forces have made a mess. And they've torn everything to pieces. And filth is everywhere. There's no beauty to behold. But much to my delight, the king is coming back.
Amen.
He's going to clean up the mess. He's going to scatter and destroy the occupying forces. And he'll restore the wonderful beauty once more. But there's something that really excites me about that. In the very last chapter in the book, in Revelation 22, Jesus said this, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work." He has a special reward, and he's going to bring it with him. It's for people who, in an occupied world, in a world full of rebellion, in a world that made it popular to disobey God, a few people in that occupied world were still faithful to the king. I want to be among those who stand before Jesus and say, I never joined the rebellion. I was always faithful to the king. He overcame the world with his truth, and I overcame the world with my faith. I enjoyed the abundant life that Jesus gave to his flock. I served his kingdom. I served his church. And he'll have rewards for all who remain faithful. So like he said, be of good cheer. He overcame the world. I come quickly. My reward is with me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Our love is for Jesus. Our love is for each other. And that's a good way to live our lives in this new year. So thank you, Jesus, for such a positive way to look at life in a new year. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the wisdom of Jesus, for his cheerful attitude. Be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. Thank you. And we too can overcome it when we trust you with all our heart and we wait for the day when you come to fix everything that's wrong. And we gladly serve you in the meantime and stay faithful to you. So bless us as we step off into a new year. Help us to remember what God has promised us and be a great partaker in this abundant life that he offers us when we gather together. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be gathering back in. Have a nice time together. Share a little food and enjoy the evening and then finish up gathering around the Lord's table as we once more look at chapter of the Lord experience around the table. I'd like you to turn your hymn books, if you will, to hymn number 207, standing as we sing, God Will Take Care of You. Page 207. You have come into this world and that you fought the system of this world from the beginning when you were born as a little baby and you knew the things that needed to be. You were there. You laid the foundations of this earth. We are grateful of your plan
And though it is occupied, and though others have come and taken over and tried to win and defeat, we know that you have overcome. We just pray that our hearts would be full of joy from that, that we would see that you are at work in our lives, and that we would be obedient and thankful and grateful for all that you have done. We thank you for the church, the place where all of your followers can come and see you and be fed, be together. We are thankful for the blessings we have in this life. There are many. We just are thankful for answered prayers and for good things that you have done. We ask for your help throughout this coming year. Protect us and be with us. Help us to draw nearer to you each and every day. Help us to learn to be obedient more each day as well. Protect us and bring us back to this place many times to worship you, we pray. In your name, amen.